Ohio lawmakers have pledged $600 million in unclaimed funds to help finance a new stadium project for the Cleveland Browns. But a Franklin County magistrate stopped the game clock. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss the ongoing legal challenge and its implications for Cincinnati's sports facilities are Michelle Jarboe, a reporter for News 5 WEWS, the Scripps station in Cleveland. Welcome to the program, Michelle.
Good to be here.
And Cincinnati Business Courier staff reporter and columnist, Chris Wetterick. Welcome back, Chris.
Thanks for having me, Lucy.
Michelle, this magistrate in Columbus is blocking the state from using unclaimed funds for the Cleveland Browns' new stadium. How did that work? How did the magistrate block the state?
So at this point, what's in place is called a preliminary injunction, and it's basically a hold to maintain the status quo. And what the magistrate has said is that the state's move to take legal ownership of this money, right? Not just use it, but to take legal ownership of it and ultimately extinguish people's rights to claim that money, that that could be an unconstitutional taking of private property, and that it could deprive people of their due process rights, that the state basically may not be giving people enough notice before doing that. Those are the arguments that some frustrated Ohioans have been making in court. And so this magistrate put that preliminary injunction in place last week, and now we're waiting to see how the state responds to that.
Michelle, wasn't there already a pause on all this?
Yeah, so in December, the Franklin County Common Pleas Court put a temporary restraining order in place. That was a very short-term pause while the court weighed whether to put a preliminary injunction in place. And this magistrate in her decision this month said, look, a preliminary injunction is a pretty extreme measure, right? Saying like, wait, nobody can move this money around while we go through the arguments in court. That is an extraordinary thing to do. But she says the risk here is high. The Ohioans who have sued have standing, and that there could be imminent harm to people if their money is taken, even though the General Assembly, when they came up with this idea last year, did carve out a grace period, allowing people whose money gets taken to still file claims and get some money through the beginning of 2036.
Chris, where do these unclaimed funds come from? How much money are we talking about here?
Well, when people don't claim property, whether it's, you know, their missed paycheck or the contents of a safe deposit box, maybe their security deposit on their apartment that they may have leased at some point in time. So the state takes that money and holds on to it on their behalf. At least that's the system right now. And then they can go ahead and claim it later. I believe there is, what's at stake really here is more than about $1 billion from the fund, from the unclaimed property fund. And that's what they want to move over there.
And Chris, where did this plan come from to use this money to help pay for sports facilities?
It came from the legislature. I mean, Governor Mike DeWine had a different plan, but the legislators rejected it. That plan would have taxed sports gambling more. They did not want to do that at that. The legislature did not want to do that at that point. So they came up with this alternative plan.
Yeah. Michelle, tell us more about who these people are who are suing to try to stop all this. And you mentioned a little bit about the arguments they're making, but tell us more about that too.
Sure. So there are actually two separate groups of Ohioans who have unclaimed funds who have filed lawsuits. They're both represented by the same law firm, Dan Law, led by a former state attorney general and former state lawmaker. And there's a lawsuit in federal court and a lawsuit in state court. So these folks have unclaimed funds, unclaimed property that's held by the state. Some of them have funds that would be taken by the state under this proposal. And they're saying, look, you know, this violates the Ohio Constitution. In the federal lawsuit, they're saying this violates the U.S. Constitution, that it is an unjust taking of private property for a purpose that isn't necessarily public, right? Part of this debate is about whether stadiums are really a public good, or, you know, whether putting this money toward pro sports facilities is something that benefits the public. The folks who have filed these lawsuits also say that Ohio's process for letting people know about unclaimed funds is insufficient, and that the state should be doing a whole lot more to let people know about their unclaimed funds before moving to take them.
We're talking about the ongoing court battle over using unclaimed funds in Ohio to help build new sports facilities. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Michelle, you just mentioned this argument that the state should be doing more. We got an email from a listener named Carolyn, and one of the points she raised, she wonders why more time and effort isn't being spent to reunite people with their money. Can you talk to us more about that, Michelle?
Sure. So the General Assembly, when they did put this mechanism for taking unclaimed funds in the budget bill last year, they included some extra money, about $1 million a year, for additional public awareness around unclaimed funds. But it's clear that there are a lot of people who do not know that they have unclaimed funds. And then there are people who struggle to claim them. We've interviewed people who have had a pretty easy time of it and became aware of their unclaimed funds after all of this hubbub about the Browns. We've also interviewed people who have struggled to get their money because they don't have documents, sometimes from decades ago, to provide all the proof that the state is looking for. And I just recently interviewed a woman who had no idea that she had unclaimed funds related to an insurance policy from when her husband died, you know, well over a decade ago. So the state says, look, people have plenty of notice and they can easily claim their funds through the state's unclaimed funds website. But it's clear, you know, not everybody is aware of that.
Michelle, that lady you interviewed, how much did she have in unclaimed funds from that insurance policy?
She did not want that number out there.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah, and that's a lot of people we've interviewed for these stories, you know, don't want to be public about the amount of money. But I think it would be fair to say that for her, it would be a significant amount of money that would have a meaningful impact on her life.
Yeah. Well, I know we did a previous program on this, and there are people who've had thousands of dollars in unclaimed funds that they weren't aware of. And that's real money for most of us, that's for sure. Chris, another point that Carolyn raised in her email, she, if I'm understanding her email correctly, gets a lot of her information about unclaimed funds through the local treasurer's website, the Hamilton County Treasurer's website, and was raised some questions about how much information was available there. What have you heard from the Hamilton County Treasurer about these unclaimed funds and how her office handles all that?
Well, you know, last July, Hamilton County Treasurer Jill Schiller, we did an interview with her last summer, and she, you know, she was basically very encouraging of people to go get these funds. She urged them to look into whether the state owes them. And, you know, I think she has probably some issues with, you know, the way that they are planning to use this money. And so there are a lot of local Democrats who, you know, kind of think people should get this money, and because it is their money. It's not the state's money. It's their money.
Yeah. And the state's just been holding on to it for
right.
them.
They are custodian.
Okay. Michelle, you know, Chris mentioned before that Governor Mike DeWine had a different plan for funding these stadium projects. He wanted to tax sports gambling and, you know, increase the tax on that to help pay for this. Do you have a sense for what the argument was from state lawmakers, why they didn't want to do that, why they wanted to do this instead? Was it just a kind of we don't like new taxes sort of reaction?
That was the impression I got, was that, you know, any new taxes were really off the table. And the Cleveland Browns had proposed a different idea even. They wanted the state to issue bonds tied to anticipated state tax revenues from the new stadium district. But Ohio's budget office expressed serious concerns about that and about whether the project was really going to perform at the level that it would generate the necessary tax revenues to pay off the debt. So this unclaimed funds idea came along and put people in a position where they could be offering a grant instead of, you know, a loan, and you know, I think to lawmakers, this seemed like a cleaner solution. And the state is sitting on $4.8 billion in unclaimed funds. And the state takes in way more funds each year than it pays out. So lawmakers have looked at this as, you know, money that's sitting idle that they'd like to try to put to work.
And Michelle, you mentioned these are grants. So does that mean this money would not have to be repaid to the state in any way? Or is there some repayment part of this?
So they're described as performance grants with the expectation that the projects will generate equivalent state tax revenues over time to what the state is investing in the projects. But they're still grants. So it doesn't really seem as though there's a lot in the way of teeth here.
Anything you wanted to add to that, Chris?
No, I mean, that's you know, politically, that's a way to try to make this palatable to people is to say, well, hey, look, you know, we're going to get the money back in tax revenue from, you know, from the way that these things are built. I mean, Michelle mentioned earlier, it was fascinating, you know, the budget office, you know, given how our government works these days, it's interesting because it's still a, you know, fact-finding entity. And it, you know, it has echoed what, you know, every economist who has not been paid by a sports organization has said about stadium projects, particularly NFL ones, which is that they do not represent an economic boom for any, you know, for any government that ends up investing in them. They're just too few dates and too, you know, too little revenue that come in as a result of them.
Yeah. Michelle, can you explain how the Cleveland Browns want to use this $600 million in unclaimed funds and how the team has responded to this decision from the magistrate?
Sure. So the $600 million would go toward the new stadium in Brook Park, which the Browns have said would be owned by an entity called a new community authority that has yet to be set up. So kind of a quasi-governmental entity. The anticipated cost of the stadium is about $2.4 billion. So this state grant would only be part of the funding. They're also talking about some local public funding and then a significant amount of private money. I did reach out to the Browns immediately after we saw that magistrate's decision, you know, putting the preliminary injunction in place. The Browns did not seem daunted by this. You know, they described this as preliminary or temporary, and they are full speed ahead. They are in the process of digging a deep hole in Brook Park for the stadium to sit in. And they have some time.
This $600 million, that sounds like a whole lot of money to me. What kind of percentage of the project is that for the Browns?
So $600 million of $2.4 billion. So it's about 25% of the project. And then, you know, initially there was a local ask of $600 million. That local ask, at least from the city of Brook Park, where the new stadium would be, is about $300 million right now. But we're still waiting to see all the details on the local financing. That has not been fully hammered out yet.
Okay. Well, we are going to continue our conversation after a short break. And later in the program, the history and legacy of local mom and pop art stores and frame shops. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back with our conversation about the legal battle over the state of Ohio's plan to use unclaimed funds to help pay for sports facilities. My guests are Michelle Jarboe, a reporter for News 5 WEWS, the Scripps station in Cleveland, and Cincinnati Business Courier staff reporter and columnist Chris Wetterick. You can join the conversation. Call 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. We got an email from Kevin who writes, how are businesses able to send money to this unclaimed funds without first looking for the people to send the money to directly? I looked a couple weeks ago and I have money from Duluth Trading Clothing Company, who I buy clothes from over the internet, but my address has never changed. Why, if they owed me money, did they not just mail me a check? I don't know if either of you have looked into that.
I have not. Sorry. Don't know.
I have a little bit. So businesses are required. There are a lot of laws, and they vary by state, around how long businesses need to hang on to unclaimed funds and how they should handle them. There is a reporting requirement where people who have more than $50 in a particular unclaimed funds account. So let's say, you know, it's an uncashed check or a refund on something or a utility deposit. The holders are supposed to notify them before transferring the money to the state. Clearly, there is a breakdown somewhere in that notification process, whether it's that somebody has moved or maybe the business sends it to the wrong address or, you know, who knows what happens in the ether. But after the holders have exhausted their responsibilities for trying to reunite people with their money, then they turn the money over to the state, and the state until now has held it in perpetuity. This change that the General Assembly made last year would set a clock for the first time on how long people have to claim their funds.
Yeah. And what is that clock now, Michelle?
10 years. So for anyone going forward, they would have 10 years from the time that the state receives the money to file a claim for it. But as I mentioned earlier, there is a grace period through January 1st of 2036, so that people who, if the state prevails in its legal arguments and the state does take ownership of unclaimed funds, people whose money is taken between now and the end of 2035 would still have the ability to file a claim and get some money.
Chris, I know the Bengals want a chunk of this money too. How much is the team looking for, and how would that money be spent?
Well, to be clear, Lucy, the Hamilton County Commissioners have applied for this money. The Bengals logo was on the letter, but it was signed only by Hamilton County Administrator Jeff Aluto. I don't think the Bengals have any problem with enlarging the project, which has been approved, which is basically what the county is asking the state to do. They've asked for $234 million for the Bengals stadium renovation. Right now, as everybody probably remembers, we have a $470 million renovation for Paycor Stadium. The money that they're asking for would kind of enlarge the overall project to $937 million. And so they would do, and I don't think I saw the details on the application exactly on which projects they would add, but listeners probably remember there was kind of a large overall vision for the stadium, and the county and the Bengals chipped in enough to get it to 470. They had always wanted to do a bigger project, but they did not get an earmark as they did in Cleveland for the project down here. And so they are, you know, they are applying for money from this unclaimed funds kitty of money in order to enlarge their project, basically.
Well, and FC Cincinnati has also applied. I think they applied directly, but correct me if I'm wrong about that, Chris.
They.
Okay. No, I appreciate it. I appreciate the correction.
It's just an interesting thing to note the letter there.
No, very important. What do we know about what FC Cincinnati would use this money for and how much they want?
So they've asked for $136 million, and their overall project that they plan is, you know, about a little bit more than $330 million. Now, this is, you know, they're going to do some things to the stadium. And this stadium, remember, just opened in 2021, so it's not that old. But what they're, you know, proposing to do with the money is, relocate the North Gate, do some restroom expansions and renovations, do some things to their box office, try to make it easier to get around the stadium with circulation-wise. Do some modernization of concessions and premium spaces. And so that they've also got this mixed use project that is being constructed next to the stadium. And so it's all designed to enhance each other, the stadium and the mixed use project that they're proposing.
Okay. We got an email from a listener, Steve from Oakley, about the FC Cincinnati project. Steve writes, as the public conversation focuses on TQL Stadium, again, something that tends to get lost in the conversation is that this stadium is owned not by FC Cincinnati, but the port. FC Cincinnati leases it via a construct of one-year leases from the port. If FC Cincinnati is seeking upgrades to the facility, perhaps the funding source to achieve them is the restructuring of the lease to cover these costs rather than raiding a pot of money that basically isn't theirs or the state's for that matter. As seen with the recent lease extension in Hamilton County, the sports team owners seem to want the best of everything funded by the people other than themselves. Steve has some commentary in there, Chris, but that is correct about the ownership of the FC Cincinnati Stadium, isn't it?
That's right. The port owns it, and the 1 year, the port owns a lot of things, technically. In this case, they own it. They own it on a series of 1 year leases that kind of expire, and then you re-up them. That I think that deals with some of the property tax issues, although the stadium makes, you know, they make a payment to Cincinnati Public Schools. It is a property tax break that they have as a result of the port owning it technically. So that's kind of what that's about.
Okay. Well, Michelle, how many teams or organizations and all have applied for these funds, and how many has the state said might be eligible to get some of this money?
So the Ohio Budget Office accepted applications earlier this year, just focusing on sports facilities. The original language around this was sports and cultural facilities, but what we've seen is really just sports specific. They received 22 applications. They threw 8 of them out pretty quickly because they were from everything from churches to a parkour business to small communities. There's one application from a racetrack in Ross County that they are still evaluating to see if it's eligible. So at this point, we know 13 have been deemed valid, and they're applying collectively for about $600 million in grants. But the budget office has said they are not doing a deep review of these applications or scoring them yet because of the uncertainty around the funding source created by the litigation.
So, Michelle, you mentioned cultural facilities were originally kind of part of the mix here. Does that mean the state has excluded cultural facilities, or can cultural facilities still apply? Where does that stand?
So the original materials that came out from the budget office soliciting grant applications focused purely on these sports facility performance grants. I don't know that that means cultural facilities are off the table down the road. I mean, what we're talking about right now is a $1 billion pot of money that the state originally was scheduled to take ownership of early this year, $600 million of that peeling off for the Browns, $400 million initially available for grants. But then the construct the lawmakers created would draw periodically from unclaimed funds, pulling money over time that has been sitting for at least a decade and putting that toward grants for sports or cultural facilities. So I don't think cultural facilities are off the table, but we're kind of waiting to see how those are going to be approached.
I see. And it's not clear yet whether any of those have applied.
I mean, like I said, there was a church that applied.
Sure.
I don't know if we would count that as a cultural facility, but their application was deemed not eligible. The parameters of the grant application request were very tailored to pro and semi-pro sports teams.
You mentioned earlier, Michelle, that the idea was to use these unclaimed funds to help pay for projects that are deemed contributing to the public good. And I guess I wonder, has there been any conversation about whether there are other uses for this money potentially? I'm thinking like education. I mean, did you hear any conversation in Columbus about, hey, if we're trying to use this money for the public good, are there other places this money could be going?
Oh, I heard plenty of conversation about it locally from our viewers who had, I mean, number one, I will say that every member of the public we've heard from about this doesn't think the state should be using this money for sports facilities. There are a lot of people who don't think the state should be touching the money at all because it is people's money. You know, it belongs to individuals or businesses, nonprofits, even government agencies that have unclaimed funds. But we have heard from people who have said, well, if the state is going to use this money for things, it should be used for things like education or affordable housing or you know, critical social priorities, community priorities. And these folks feel like pro sports facilities don't rank high on that list.
Hmm. Have you been hearing from people about that, Chris?
Not particularly. You know, we got a business audience, and I think, you know, we just haven't gotten that much feedback about what it should or should not be used for.
Yeah. Well, Chris, Michelle referenced this earlier, but people do still have time to get this money, these unclaimed funds, if they think they've got some, but they have less time than they used to, right? Is that right, Chris?
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember the exact, you know, the timeline, but I think that's correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Michelle, I think you said it's like the clock's ticking. You've got 10 years once those unclaimed funds are deposited, or if they've been there for a while, 10 years starting at the beginning of this year. Is that right?
Yes. And that is if the General Assembly's new approach is ultimately upheld in court. You know, the legal challenge throws everything into limbo. But if you think you have unclaimed funds, if you think somebody you love has unclaimed funds, if you think one of your neighbors has unclaimed funds, you can go online to unclaimedfunds.ohio.gov and look that up. And we've just been trying to get that information out to people as much as possible, because, as I said before, we still encounter people who have no idea that they have had unclaimed funds sitting around, in some cases for decades.
Sure. Well, Michelle, you know, if the people suing over this ultimately win, if the state does not prevail in its arguments, are there other legal strategies the state could pursue to try to use these unclaimed funds the way state lawmakers want to use them?
Well, and this gets a little bit into the technical and legal weeds, but Ohio actually already uses unclaimed funds for like affordable housing loans, for example. So there are ways the state can use the money, just like a bank uses your deposits while the bank is holding them. The issue here is really the state's move to take permanent ownership of the money and cut off people's ability to claim their money. So are there ways the state could use this money but not lay claim to it? Yes. Is that going to fill the bucket for a $600 million stadium grant for the Browns? Not necessarily.
Okay. We got an email from Richard who writes, isn't it a statement of the times that our legislators ignore hunger issues, homeless issues, inflation that is going to hit farmers and manufacturers, then all of us due to the war with Iran, and they focus on giving money to the richest sports entity in the United States? Question mark. That's a comment. I know you're both reporters. I won't ask you to respond to that, but that's what Richard wanted to weigh in with. Chris, any idea what it would mean for Hamilton County and the Bengals if they don't get this money? I mean, what impact that would have on the Paycor Stadium renovation plans?
It would continue at the size that has been contemplated thus far. It would not lead to any, I mean, the Bengals have a 10-year lease, I think it's a little bit more, but they're, you know, that is signed and sealed and delivered. And so even if they don't get the money from the state, that does not impact their lease continuing at Paycor Stadium.
What about with FC Cincinnati? Has there been much talk about what?
Yeah. I mean, I think FC would like the money, it would help their mixed use project. I'm not sure that it is, you know, if they don't get the money that they're not going to do it. I don't think they haven't said that.
Okay. We got an email from Barbara who writes, could you please help Ohio citizens find if they have funds? Sites that say they are free are not free. The state used to publish a list, but I have not seen that in a while. So we did have a discussion about this a few weeks ago, and one of our guests mentioned that there are some sites who say they'll help you. They want to charge a fee. You should not follow those sites because you should be able to get this, figure this out with the state without having to pay a fee. Michelle, could you repeat that website again for our listeners where they should go to track down if they have unclaimed funds in this Ohio unclaimed fund pot of money?
Yes. So it's unclaimedfunds.ohio.gov. That is the state official website for the Division of Unclaimed Funds. You will not have to pay anything to use it, and you should be able to look things up by name there.
And I know the last time we talked about this, we did talk about how it can be rather complicated, especially if you're trying to access unclaimed funds from a deceased relative, for example. Have you run into that with people you've interviewed, Michelle, just that it can be complicated to have all the paperwork you need?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I mean, it's one thing if it's a small amount of money and you are, you have transacted with whatever the business was recently, you know, it's easy for you to prove. It's another thing if this was, you know, your husband's life insurance policy from the early 1990s, or let's say stocks or dividends related to a deceased relative. There's a lot of paperwork that's required. If it's above a certain amount of money, you have to have notarized documents. So the process varies depending on the amount of money, how old the claim is, and the circumstances through which that money came to the state.
Yeah. Well, this has been fascinating. I've been talking with Michelle Jarboe, a reporter for News 5, WEWS, the Scripps station in Cleveland, and Cincinnati Business Courier staff reporter and columnist Chris Wetterich. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thanks, Lucy.
Thank you.
Up next, we discuss the history and legacy of local mom-and-pop art stores and frame shops. This is Cincinnati Edition.